ESPN 97.5. KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gao Media Station.
Sounds fascinating.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number two belongs to Barry Laminack, the birthday boy, 5353 West Alabama in the Galleria area. If you want to be a part of Barry's birthday and drop off the next big surprise as
whiskey,
John possible. Parker dropped off.
Yeah, man. Shout out to John Parker. Much appreciated.
Cheesecake-ish.
Yes.
Cheesecake
After
Factory.
I started it with the actual cake. Then yes. John Parker got the cheesecake. So now Nick is saying, next on the wish list besides the weed whacker is whiskey.
Did I have to dump you there? Like, what did you say?
Nick, I didn't say anybody was getting pussy willows. I just said whiskey.
Okay.
All right. If you want to get close to the button.
Does this mean that I could curse today?
No, it does not mean that.
Oh.
You could still definitely lose your job if you curse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
I can too.
Would you?
What if you curse on Twitter?
I do that a lot. I hope that doesn't cost you.
Wait a second.
Job.
If I curse and it makes it through, do you also get fired? Why are you standing closer to the button?
Yeah, you did kind of do a sidestep there.
If I curse, do you also get fired? Because isn't it really your responsibility what goes out over the air?
Yeah, and I don't know why that is, considering
that was kind of a quick, yeah.
why should I be responsible for what comes out of your mouth? I don't know.
You know, sometimes in the heat of the moment, things just get said.
See? It's like a ventriloquist.
Yeah, sometimes words just get said, okay. Nick.
Maybe we shouldn't request any whiskey.
I mean, if you guys can get me a ride home, I'll get as drunk as you want me to get on
just
this show.
Just because you get $100 whiskey list. Doesn't mean you have to drink it during the show.
No, he has to.
No, that's exactly what it means.
Oh, okay. Well, then people, 5353 West Alabama in the Galleria area.
Y'all both trying to get me fired.
I would be entertained by that. And yeah, I think the more liquored up he got, the more he would start just spewing cuss words.
Somebody say, hey, Barry, this is Cue Ball. Say the address one more time. I'm sending you a male stripper and a bottle of Roundup. I'll take one of those, but not the other. I'll let you figure out which
male
stripper.
He'll take the male stripper.
Of course.
Nick hit the bell button. I was like, well. It's not a party. It's just for Barry.
I took the kids to McDonald's, and the kids heard sex and horny on the radio. Happy birthday, Barry.
Well, kind of what you signed up for.
Sounds about right. If there is no Too Short, E-40, Conscious Daughters, MC Hammer, or Aunt Banks, y'all are whack.
I put E-40, so I win.
And I had Too Short.
And play some deep cuts, something by the artist we don't hear much on the radio. Oh, greatest hits, fans, ass, Usual Suspects.
You know who loves this?
Love
some
the
Too
show.
Short?
Love
My wife.
Show. Oh, yeah?
Lisa's a big Too Short fan.
Okay. Yep. I do have Aunt Banks on there. Thank you very much. These guys don't even know who the hell Aunt Banks is.
Love Aunt Banks.
And really, what's your favorite song besides Stragglers? Because that's what I put. Oh, let's just look
it up. I was going to say Stragglers,
Big
and then things. I was going to say...
Bam, Packing the Gun.
Nothing.
Bam.
Oh, really? How's Packing the Gun go?
On something that Packing the Gun, dog. That's what it's going to be.
How's it go? Just sing it how you think it goes. No. Just I don't want to hear it. I want you to sing how you think Packing a Gun goes.
Sounds nothing like that. Like nothing like that.
I just wanted you to see.
I gave myself a quick listen. 1993.
Myself a quick. Okay.
Yeah. Just run that.
So, Astros.
Yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah.
The big thing that I keep saying when all these people are like really starting to worry about everything going on is if they were losing, okay, then I could see you having some concern with the amount of time that it looks like some of these guys may be out. Correa, 4 to 6 weeks. Altuve coming back from a rehab assignment because the leg is bothering him again. Springer looks to be hopefully on the mend, still in the dugout, but in good spirits. But the bottom line is, no matter who they're inserting in the lineup, whether it be Mayfield, last night it was Stubbs. Fantastic. He gets two hits. His first major league hit is against a guy like John Lester. It's a double. Then a bloop single for an RBI. And you're like, hey, you know what? As long as they keep doing what they do, and even Derek Fisher, like you said, in his first game, came up with some big knocks. So they're doing it, and that's what you got to really tip your cap to about the fact that it shows how deep they are when they need to be.
It's crazy. I mean, I guess when you, with a team like this, when you start calling guys up to fill in and provide some depth in your lineup because of injury, those guys feel like they have to be held to a certain standard. When this team was losing 100 games, if you called up a Stubbs or a Mayfield or somebody like that, they're probably going to fall in line with the rest of that team and be subpar. Mm-hmm. But the fact that this team isn't making excuses, because despite – this is what's crazy about – I mean, think about this team. Despite them losing an MVP caliber player in Altuve, mm-hmm. an MVP caliber player in, let's be real, in George Springer, he was on track to win the MVP based on what he was doing before he got hurt, and a guy who should be an MVP caliber player in Correa, this team still has Alex Bregman, Michael Brantley, and Yuli Gurriel to pick them up.
Yeah, no doubt and, about
I mean, you don't even exclude guys like Reddick, who had been playing well, but that's how deep this team is.
And to show you how good a start Springer was off to, he hasn't played now in over a week with the exception of the one game.
Yeah.
And his numbers all still stand across the board. He still leads the league in home runs. He's near the tops in hits and RBIs. So that shows you, like, hands down, it would have been him in the MVP in the AL and Bellinger in the NL. And it was numbers that were way head and shoulders above everybody else. So he's built up some pretty quality stats, but now when you look at it, this is why it's so important, to your point, that a guy like Reddick has come back out of his, kind of funk for the last couple of years. He's hitting the ball well. You go around, Diaz has done way better than anybody could have expected until he got hurt.
Yep.
In terms of filling in for Marwin. So kudos to Jeff Luhnow and his staff. They brought up your boy today to be a temporary fix for Correa. So your
Myles Straw
is going to be on the base pads.
I'm happy about that. I'm okay with that.
And I got to believe that part of that was they didn't bring up another infielder because they feel comfortable in the fact that Mayfield has really filled in nicely.
Well, don't sleep on the fact too. Straw has played a little infield.
Okay.
So I think that I don't know how much I liken it to probably Yordan Alvarez getting some reps at first base. Not mm-hmm. enough to say, yeah, I trust this guy. But he's been playing shortstop along with playing in the outfield. So. Has it been enough? I don't know. I haven't watched Myles Straw play shortstop in the minors, but if it's been enough, then you could potentially put him out there at shortstop as needed. Bregman could play third because Bregman's you're going to be your backup shortstop for the most part, but you could move him, put Kemp at first or Mayfield, and
I'm you more have leaning some options. To your philosophy. You've convinced me in the last couple of weeks in the fact that I don't want three guys out of position.
Yeah.
I just want the minimal amount.
Right.
So if I want Bregman where he plays, I want Yuli where he plays, and then you'll worry about the middle of the infield.
Well, here's the problem. Yeah, Bregman probably is – well, Bregman is your backup shortstop. Because remember, now he slid to third because of Correa. So Bregman came up as a shortstop. Mm-hmm. So it naturally makes sense to have him at shortstop. Yuli came up as a third baseman. Remember, he slid to first right. because Bregman slid to third. Yep. So – sending Yuli back to third makes sense. What didn't make sense for me was Yuli playing second base. That one I didn't like. That one didn't make sense.
And it didn't work out with and a couple of fly balls and a couple of ground balls.
Even after
balls.
We talked yep. about it, he went yes, back he in did. When Diaz got hurt and played badly.
Kicked a few grounders, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm fine with that. I'm fine with Yuli at third. I'm fine with Kemp at second. If that's your infield with Tyler White at first until everybody gets healthy, I'm okay with that. And I realize you have to substitute a little bit here and there, mm-hmm. But that would be my infield going forward.
Okay.
Until everybody's back again, because you don't want to just be like, hey, we can just throw anyone out there and they do okay. Yeah. Well, Mayfield is now hitting what, 143 after a nice little start to his career. It goes away. Just like Kevin Biggio, and everybody was like, oh, my God, he hit a home run. He's 3-for-13 since being called up.
And remember.
I get it. It's a small sample size. But
also remember, like Bregman, Springer, when they first started, sure. that adjustment to the major leagues
sure.
and that jump is, it's a big adjustment, and they struggled.
So speaking of that, where are we on Martin?
I'm starting to get done with the experiment.
Done with Corbin Martin already?
Like you said, as good as he looked in, like Mayfield, got off to that good start, and it was impressive, and it was a great story. But watching him last night giving up three bombs in a single inning, and just watching his body language and his facial expressions, he looked like he was scared or defeated in a lot of the different circumstances. And I'm going, that's not what you need. You have Josh James for that. You don't need someone else that's going to give up two long balls in an inning.
Yeah, it's funny. I think last time out when he faced the White Sox, you saw AJ Hinch come out there and have a discussion with him mm-hmm. before he took him out of the game. And you could tell, and Blummer even said, that was not a discussion of, hey, you'll get him next time.
Right.
That was a teaching moment.
No doubt about it.
That was a father-son, dad yelling at his kid moment, but not yelling, because that's not AJ Hinch's
style.
That
was a teachable moment.
It was a stern talking to.
I was going to say, with a little oomph on it.
Yeah, and then he comes back out and basically has the same kind of outing, less than four innings, gives up three earned runs. I think you have to come up and pitch with confidence.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it, and you know, I don't know if you heard this the other day, but they were talking about Josh James, and I think it was on the radio that they said this, because when I was driving to Dallas, but they said that, of all people, Tony Sipp called Josh James.
I did hear that, yes.
And said, hey, man.
It was on TV.
Your stuff is ridiculous. You belong there. Go out there and pitch with confidence. And that was the turning point for Josh James, and he went out there, and that's when he stopped just giving up runs nonstop. So it is about confidence. It is about going out there and knowing you belong. And as soon as you doubt that, and we've seen it, like you said, with the body language with Martin, that's when the wheels can come off on you.
So you're with me?
Yeah, and I mean, look at a guy like Devinsky. A guy like Devinsky at one point, Devo, man, he was the baddest dude on the planet, according to Devo.
Off the mound and on the mound and around the mound, it's not at all. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. So you know what? You have the luxury. Because again, I'm watching that game last night and I'm going, they got to keep this a low scoring game. They got to stay in it because Lester's, you know, normally been pretty effective throughout his career. And yet they just kept offensively answering and putting more runs on the board. And it was fantastic to see that. But now, because you have the luxury of having an offensive lineup that is still putting up runs, hey, look, send him back down. Maybe you try Bukauskas. Maybe you try somebody else. Because I've said this. Whitley in his last five starts has been something where he's got to stay down there and keep working on things. But maybe you rotate a few guys up until you find out, do I have somebody in the mix? Or as we head towards the trade deadline, maybe I do have to go either kick the tires one more time on Dallas Keuchel if you don't want to give up any prospects, but you're probably going to have to give some cash.
Yeah.
Or start thinking about, is there a trade I can make that upgrades me for not only this year, but probably for the future?
You know, we didn't discuss this really when Colin McHugh went on the DL, but I found it to be very interesting that after his struggles, he gets moved to the bullpen, and then, he's got some soreness and some tightness, which sometimes can be true. But I think sometimes when you hear that, it's a chance to get a guy a break and still have his roster spot filled, which is how Martin was able to come up because they put McHugh on the IL. I just found it to be interesting that that's what it was some sort of soreness. I'm not suggesting that Colin McHugh is faking an injury, and I'm not suggesting that the Astros are cheating. I'm just saying that sometimes in baseball,
no doubt,
they'll take advantage of it.
All sports do it.
They'll take advantage of the opportunity to get a guy a mental break and reset himself.
Because I'm looking.
It's also why they didn't rush Jose Altuve back. Let's be real. This is why they could have rushed Altuve back a lot sooner. But this was probably the best thing that could have happened to Jose Altuve this year.
It's a great point.
Yeah, so don't be surprised if Colin McHugh, the IL stint was 10 days. I could see him back in this rotation sooner rather than later because of Martin faltering a little bit.
Yeah, because I looked at it and I was like, I saw the list of all the guys hurt and I was like, wait, what? I was like, oh, he's not hurt. They're just doing that.
A mental break.
Yeah, exactly right. He's got to put some ice on his brain for a while because, he's thinking too much because... Yeah, you're absolutely right. When I saw it, I said the same thing. I'm like, that's not one I'm going to worry about. That's more one that they're just trying to get him back on track. So hopefully they stay on track. Because again, the other thing that I keep saying to you people, they're winning a game. And people go, they won a game. Okay, the makeshift lineup won a game. Guess what? You already won the series against the Cubs.
It's crazy.
Again. So you've won the series the last two times you played the Red Sox and against the Cubs. And you continue to win more than you're losing. It's just a huge, huge feather in your cap if you're the Astros organization for what they're able to do with all the guys they're missing.
I saw a tweet that I thought was pretty accurate in how it would go. I think it was from Thicky Dawn on Twitter.
I know you're talking about,
Good Twitter account.
Yes.
Tweets about Astro stuff. Mm-hmm. But he said it was basically the summation of the tweet was Astros fans are going to lose their mind when they drop 2 of 3 to Oakland.
True.
And let's be real. One, probably going to happen and could happen to a team like Oakland. And two, that's probably what the fans will do when it happens.
And Oakland lost last night, but they had won 10 in a row.
Yeah.
So they've been hot. So, I mean, it's the same way people were all ready to just crap in their Cheerios because of the fact that they split with the White Sox.
Yeah.
But you know what? These things are going to happen. It's a 162-game schedule.
Lucky for the Astros, they have Verlander and Cole pitching in 2 of those 3 games in Oakland on the road. But still, I could just see that would be a typical thing to have happen in this sports town and what we do. And of course, the fans would lose their mind if Peacock and Cole are the ones that lose or something like that.
You got to call. Boy, speaking of that, too, with the rotation, Miley on national TV again tonight. Every time the Astros are on TV, it's Wade Miley. They got to have some nickname with him, like, you know, TV Wade. He's always on TV. The guy. You're looking for Verlander or Cole, and yet he's the guy, and he normally steps up big. So yeah, they got a chance to sweep the Cubs tonight, which would be huge before they head out on the road. But just be thankful that your team is deep and they keep winning ball games regardless of who's in the lineup.
I'm enjoying it.
There you go. All right, it's a Barry birthday. He's hour number two of the 3-hour show today. It's the extravaganza. 5353 West Alabama. If you want to drop any kind of deliveries off for Barry between now and 4 o'clock, Nick has changed it up. We have enough cake and sweets. We're looking for hard liquor, possibly any other kind of alcohol, and any kind of rakes, weed whackers, or other things for his yard.
Just lobbies for everything. No,
bring gifts. Nick, man, I swear, if you don't get anything on your birthday, I'm gonna be so mad.
I love the effort, though.
I was gonna say, you know what? You can't knock me for trying because you're not gonna get it unless you see what you can get. So you throw it out there. You throw enough crap on the wall, it sticks. That's what we're doing right now. It's sticky. All right, so we're gonna continue to roll on. It's the usual suspects at ESPN 97.5. Funky.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay, that's cool.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, almost to the midway point. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Way back Wednesday, songs pre-2009 from artists either from Canada or the Bay Area in honor of the NBA Finals. And of course, bigger than that, it's Barry's birthday today. Charlie says he's 50. Barry says he's 45. True. Somewhere in the middle, there are lots of deliveries showing up. If you want to join the crowd, 5353 West Alabama in the Galleria area. Either drop it by yourself, as me will be happy to help you. Otherwise, just send your local courier. Nick has passed all sweets up, now wants whiskey, regardless of what Barry wants. Barry wants lawn tips.
Why are you getting stuff for my... I didn't get anything for your birthday.
I was just trying to lobby.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I like whiskey, so...
Yeah,
but I feel like you wanted it for you.
Kinda. But I want you to enjoy it as well.
It doesn't surprise me in the least. Not in the least. That's just how you are. I got to say thank you to everybody on the text line for texting in. Way too many to read and all, but thanks to everybody that sent in happy birthday wishes. Somebody said, hey, Barry, have you all seen the Chris Farley documentary on A&E that was just put out Monday? It's great. Also, happy C-Day. best wishes to the best man on stage and radio. God bless, homie. I didn't see the Chris Farley.
I'd like to see it.
I did see something come out this week about Chris Kattan, who wrote a book and said that when they were filming Night at the Roxbury, or whatever the hell it's called,
Night at Roxbury's right,
that he was asked to sleep with the director or else they were going to cancel the film. Lauren Michaels said, hey, this chick, whoever her name is, not hot, by the way.
Really?
Can you bang her so that she doesn't pull out and poor choice of words. Can you bang her so that she doesn't pull out of the film? And then it falls apart. So he did.
He did?
Yeah.
Taking one for the team.
Yeah. And he even said, well, I mean, he's no catch. Well,
Chris Kattan looks like a puppet.
Yeah, he does.
He really does.
I want to be a real boy.
Yeah.
If they were like, hey, you got to bang this ugly chick or The Usual Suspects is going to go off the air, I'd be like, better update my resume. That's what Nick is for.
Yeah, I'd take one for the team.
Yeah, there you go. That's at least you would. I would not. Farley, I'm too picky for that.
Always was a fan of Farley.
Because I've never banged ugly chicks, Nick. You have, so you're used to it. What?
Yeah, some it's a rare occasion or a slump buster, and others it's par for the course.
I mean,
you look at it. I've always been a huge fan of Farley, and he's a Wisconsin kid. Yeah. But I don't know if you saw it, but Sandler hosted SNL a couple weeks ago. And did one of his impromptu songs all about Chris Farley. and they played video to back it up, and it was really moving.
Really?
And I go back to, remember when Planet Hollywood was a big thing? Mm-hmm. And they opened up the one in the Galleria, mm-hmm. and they sent us all kinds of invites for the grand opening. And so on the red carpet deal, here comes Chris Farley. And we're all sitting there in this, like, this room upstairs, and my buddy and I are sitting there watching Farley, and he's going between, like, handfuls of, like, chicken strips and French fries, and then, like, hard liquor to beer to Damn. Cigarettes. And yeah. I just looked at my buddy, and I go, I don't know how that dude's going to last more than a couple years. And he was like, man, yeah, he's just in excess on everything. And that's what they said. They said just like he lived his life in comedy and everything else to be funny and be the life of the party and go at it, but he partied like that, too, and... Man, just a shame that you lost so much talent in him, Belushi, yeah. guys like that.
All the fat guys, the funny fat guys yeah. are the ones that... some dude said, John Fortenberry directed Night at the Roxbury, so you're saying Chris Kattan banged a dude? No, the article went on to say that they originally... She wanted to be the producer, not the director, and Lauren Michaels didn't want her to steal his title as producer, but he banged her, and she ended up not directing the film, but being a producer instead, so he did it all for nothing.
Really?
Yes.
But I had thank no idea. You for
chiming in there. Which one of y'all just burped?
That'd be me.
Oh, well done.
Yeah, I reached for the button, didn't seem to make it.
When is Lowell's birthday? So, Lowell, when is your birthday?
Yeah, Lowell, when's your birthday?
Juneteenth, baby.
That's right. It is Juneteenth, right? That's dope. Who played Paris? They just won way back Wednesday.
The birthday boy.
The only vote I'm going to get. I sent y'all cupcakes through DoorDash. I got a message saying the delivery guy couldn't find the place. I think he just ate y'all's cupcakes.
Fourth floor. So 53 West Alabama. Fourth floor.
We were talking about the Astros before. I know we got to go. Sorry. But we were talking about the Astros. Yeah. And this is pretty interesting. Justin sent this in. He said, it's insane, and I'm paraphrasing from FanGraphs, but if the top six hitters on the Astros were to be replaced by the average minor leaguer, they would still have above a 61 winning percentage or a 6-1-0
yeah.
winning percentage because their worst three active hitters and full pitching staff is just that good.
That's crazy.
That is crazy to think that.
Squeaky clean information from Chandler Rome on Twitter as well. Forrest Whitley going on a 7-day minor league IL shoulder fatigue.
Mm.
So he's going to the Astros facility in West Palm Beach.
Colin McHugh.
Maybe so,
right? Why don't you take a break?
Maybe so. Exactly right. Now you got two guys that I'd be less worried about the medical breakdown and more about the mental breakdown. Yeah. Get them some R&R in between the ears. So he won't be coming up anytime soon, but we'll see what they do there with all the things that they're dealing with. Again, kudos to Jeff Luhnow for keeping them all on pace and doing what they need to do by winning games. Speaking of a winning place that you can watch these games, how about just heading over to one of your six Houston area Twin Peaks locations? It's eats, it's drinks, it's scenic views, and it's more than just a slogan. It's exactly what they do because they have an unbelievable made-from-scratch menu, and now they've added to it. They have a new Smoker Selects menu that has all kinds of in-house smoked meats, spicy Thai ribs, pulled pork sandwich, and other treats, as well as the delicious appetizers and the other main courses that they offer. And, of course, those 29-degree draft beers are always available at the bar. Lots of different beers on tap, but the main thing is they're always going to be ice cold and refreshing no matter when you need another beverage. And the fact of the matter is there's plenty of TVs with all the satellite subscriptions so they can get any game that you're looking for on multiple TVs so you can watch multiple events at one time. You got the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup, all kinds of, and Astros baseball almost on a nightly basis. All kinds of sports to choose from. And of course, it's all going to be taken care of by the beautiful Twin Peaks girls. They're going to be there to serve you at your table. Make sure your hot food is hot, the beverages are cool, and everything that they do is customer service friendly. So check them out at one of the six locations in Houston. Tell them Joel Blank sent you by. It's Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
My friends say I'm a fool to think that you're the one for me. I guess I'm just a sucker for love. Cause honestly, the truth is that you know I'm never leaving. Cause you're my angel sent from above.
This
is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What I say every day when I answer the phone.
What?
It's JB, baby. You're a believer?
No, I'm not a believer. I just needed somebody from Canada. And I thought, you know what? Why not torture everybody?
You run to this.
No. No, I like chick songs, but not these chick songs.
He's kind of a chick.
I'm in. Yeah, this isn't my thing. I just threw a Justin Bieber in there because he's from Canada.
He's got a couple tracks with like rappers that I like. Yeah, he doesn't look like that anymore, but he has that bowl cut in this particular video. That hair where everything is like brushed forward
yeah. Like a flock of seagulls without the hairspray.
And I'm gonna call him bangs. That's what I'm gonna call him. Yeah, like he has bangs.
Like the 2000s douchebag. Is what he looked like.
Yeah.
A 2000s douchebag.
Yeah.
Okay. Who's softer, Drake or Bieber?
Oh, shots fire.
You're going to start that back up again.
I tried to find a Drake song. There really wasn't anything prior to 2009.
There was like one that yeah. I came across and I was like, that's
so
lame.
I was like, you know what?
Well,
forget the old Buster ass Drake. I'll go with Justin Bieber instead. And I don't even know. I've never heard this song in my life. That makes two of us. I Googled Justin Bieber and I saw 2008, maybe. And I was like, there it is. It might even be 2009. I might have just DQ'd myself. I don't know.
It is 2009. I wasn't going to throw you under the bus on this one because it's your birthday.
Wait, I was going to say, you of all people.
I did it last week. I threw him under the bus last week.
I was going to throw him. And then because of his birthday, you're not going to throw him.
Hey, I threw him under the bus last week.
Yeah, he did.
On
Tire
two different songs.
Still there.
Somebody said, I feel like I'm in a roller rink right now. This is banging. Can we just do the whole segment with just
or
the song
arcade,
on a loop?
When we always talk about video games, no could kid. Be at the arcade. Let's get to this other story
let's
in local Houston sports. Woj with a Woj bomb this morning saying Daryl Morey is out there shopping anyone and everyone. Trying to make a deal so that they can be better next season. According to certain reports, Harden would be in the mix on people that would be available. And then other reports saying Harden was excluded, but everyone else is out there and on the table, including Chris Paul and the most sought after in terms of teams are interested in Clint Capella.
Mm. Clint Capella would make the most sense in terms of being, in my opinion, in terms of bringing back, giving something and getting anything back, Clint Capella would seem like the piece.
Value-wise, he's young. He's still statistically one of the top centers in the game and on a different tier than the Joel Embiids of the world. But obviously, though, he still is effective. Contract is, in terms of NBA contracts these days,
not that bad.
Still pretty friendly at about 18 a year with a couple years left of team control. So you can see a smaller market team that needs some help on the boards and block shots and things, taking a look, maybe kicking the tires. I just don't know what you're going to get back that's going to make you better.
Yeah, I'm with you. The big thing for me was when they were like, everyone's on the table. And then they're saying, that includes James Harden.
Well, you know what ESPN did with that. LeBron for James Harden.
Really?
They went all morning on it.
Really?
All morning.
I just don't know. This is such a weird thing right now that's going on in this franchise, and it's basically like all of the eggs are in the Daryl Morey basket. Think about this. I heard you walking by when I sarcastically told you so, and you were saying that now they're saying that D'Antoni's not going to get an extension, that he's going to play on his
Tillman,
1 year. And
Tillman
I said,
is the one that said,
prove it to me, right?
I'm like, with
you're going to have
that.
To prove it to me. And he wasn't going to get an extension, and so now he's not. So now Mike D'Antoni could be gone. All of the players are up. Like, literally everyone is in question except the one guy that's been here through all of this mediocrity. And I shouldn't say mediocrity. The Rockets have been better than mediocre. But
for sure.
He's been through the one. There's one person that has been here through it all that and unable to get over this hump, and that's Daryl Morey.
And you know
Daryl Morey and James Harden. I said it right as soon as they lost. There's two names that never come up about
I'm
being
not,
replaced.
Now, I brought
and
it
now
up.
They've thrown James Harden in the mix a little bit. But I just...
I brought it up, and I got labeled for it. But you know, the one... I've
you brought it up.
But I've been critical of Daryl because of the bringing the wrong piece. Fine, you let Trevor and Luke and guys like that walk, but the guys you brought in to replace them just didn't fit. And they obviously proved that they didn't fit by the midpoint in the season when they got lucky on the buyout market and got all these guys. But, yeah, ESPN was pushing the whole... James is from L.A., so James goes to the Lakers, and LeBron gets reunited with his boy Chris Paul, and he escapes all the turmoil of what's going on with the Lakers right now, and they get a chance to win for a couple of years, and Daryl gets the kind of guy that he wants, and I'm like, I don't think that's the kind of guy Daryl wants right now, because analytically, you say LeBron's not even close to the player he once was when he was making all these consecutive runs to the finals.
Yeah.
And what you're going to surround him with are still the same pieces that you had last year if you make a move like that. And I don't know that any of those pieces, along with even LeBron James over James Harden, makes you any better.
Well, how are you going to get rid of... I mean, you guys chastised me for this the other day. How are they going to move Chris Paul? Unless it's part of a Clint Capella and, hey, do you basically want this two-thirds of the trio that... You know, push the Warriors.
Blowhard, red Kool-Aid drinking bloggers seem to believe that he is tradable and that teams would want him. I just don't see how anybody wants 3 years and 125 mil or whatever's left on that deal.
I think it depends on the team. I think it depends on the team and how they, a team out there that maybe is desperate for a point guard that feels that's all it takes to win a championship. Because there's a difference between... Oh, let's get some pieces. You're not going to build around Chris Paul. But if Chris Paul was the final piece to a championship.
So to what you're saying, I'll throw you out one scenario.
Like the Celtics.
Right, exactly. But I don't like what you get in return because they're trying to push Gordon Hayward. I don't want Gordon Hayward because he essentially plays James Harden's position but doesn't need the ball as much. But I don't think that he's going to be any better feeding off James with the ball in his hands as opposed to, from a Boston perspective, it makes perfect sense because if Scary Terry leaves and Kyrie leaves and you need a point guard but you got all the other pieces around him that made up a really good team for the last couple of years, yeah, you want to hang on to that. The other one that I saw, and I don't know what you guys feel.
So just to validate, though, the Celtics is a thing that's now being discussed?
Yes.
Because when you guys were chastising me, I just don't think anybody realistically. I said Boston would be a team that could, they're losing Kyrie. They could need a point guard. That might be a team that would be interested in a Chris Paul.
Then kudos to you.
But
we were talking about buyouts. No one's going to buy Chris Paul.
No. I was suggesting because y'all were saying that nobody would trade for that. And I said, well, if the team needed a point guard, if they felt like that's all that they were away.
Right.
And but that's the problem is Boston might be one of the very few teams that would need a Chris Paul.
Right.
So now you're kind of over a barrel as to what you could get for it.
So the other one that's out there is a Phoenix trade that would send Chris Paul to the Suns and involve getting back really nothing that makes you that much better. The number 6 pick in the draft and Josh Jackson, who played at Kansas, who's kind of been a lottery pick that hasn't done all that. Tyler Johnson, which is an overpaid point guard. I'm like, if you could take that number 6 pick from Phoenix and something else and turn that into another impact player, right. I don't mind Josh Jackson coming off my bench.
So let me ask you this. When you talk about the trade values and the trade scenarios, is it the total of the contract or just the year?
It's both with Chris Paul, simply because of the fact that next year it gets into the high 30s. The final 2 years are in the $40 million range. And when you look at the cap is going to be nowhere near $90 million in the next 3 years. So half of your salary on your entire roster is going to be taken up by an aging point guard.
He's essentially consuming 40%, maybe 30, 40, maybe even 45% of the salary cap. But
what I'm saying is when you trade them, do you have to match it up for the life of the contract or for the year?
Both. I think the contract stays in place.
Well, but it's a year-to-year deal. And so I would say for the year, you have to trade. His trade value is within 15% of the salary he's making for the first year or the next year of the deal or the year
so
he's
so it's not the
in.
Life of the contract. It's the next year.
Yeah, as far as I understand it.
Okay, so Chris Paul is making $38 million next year, and he's on the books until 2022.
Right.
Gordon Hayward would be making 32 next year and on the books to 2021. So you would be trading.
You eliminate a year.
You would eliminate a year. And I looked it up. Gordon Hayward shoots 36% from three-point range.
This
so James Harden becomes your point guard and Gordon Hayward sure. becomes your James Harden.
Well, but still, James Harden's still going to get most of the shots.
I mean, 36% isn't awful.
This is where your doctor's got to play a huge role.
Yeah.
Your doctors have to come involved, get involved in a deep way and say, look, he has this percentage of getting back to the player he once was. Or with this injury, give him this amount of time and he's going to... Because people say with an ACL, it takes a full year after the surgery mm-hmm. for you to get close to getting back to where you once were. But you can do it. I don't know what the severity of his injury and how ugly that thing was. If I don't know what the medical people are saying about will he ever get back to where he once was.
Yeah.
But it's a tough predicament because
but I mean you go from a 34-year-old to a 29-year-old. I mean you get younger. Yeah, he could be injury prone, but hell, Chris Paul's injury prone. Mm-hmm. It's one less year on the deal, you free up a little bit of money because yeah, you've got $32 million next season for Gordon Hayward and then $34 million the following season. It's a player option. Of course he's going to take it. Right. And then he becomes a free agent in 2021. So you shave a year off of that bad contract with Chris Paul.
Which is huge.
You got a little younger.
But and did you get better?
You
get better? That's the biggest question. Do you get better? Because the only thing that you're trying to make moves for right now is to get better.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if you take Chris Paul away and just give me Gordon Hayward that they're a better team than they were this year.
Yeah. Well, 1-to-1? I don't know. I mean...
Because now you have even more pressure to make another move to improve your bench.
But you could at least say with Chris Paul in the past that his defense was, and even then I don't think it was good, but it wasn't what it used to be.
I'll say the biggest thing about him is he can still create his own, and if he gets when you do a pick and roll and he gets a big man on him, he can bust one right in your eyes from three. He can take him off the dribble. He still passes very well. I look at Gordon Hayward, who was a guy making all the money and you know, with the contract he had, coming off the bench, you know, then he was on the struggle bus most of the year, and then Brad Stevens put him in the starting lineup and pissed off the rest of the team. No fault of his because the injury was so devastating. I just don't know that he ever becomes even close to the player he once was in Utah.
When they left Utah, yeah.
So
that's the risk, though, right?
Oh,
Would you trade that, though? Would you trade the risk of a Chris Paul, an injury, and... the money attached to him.
The money's the biggest thing.
For a guy, you shave off a year, yeah. A guy that maybe, I mean, he might be the most expensive six man you get. Because that's the other option, too, is look, he could be your first option off the bench, and then you've got your backcourt.
Your bench was a problem last year, and you know that Rivers and Fried are going to go, so maybe.
And your backcourt is Gordon and James, and you got to figure out what you're going to do from there.
Yeah, Eric Gordon, James, and PJ are your starting lineup with Capella and... You could start just about anybody.
Yeah, I guess you would have to start Hayward maybe as their small forward.
Yes, or if you're going to re-sign Daniel House or someone like that.
They have Hayward listed as a power forward?
No way. No way.
They do. I'm looking at basketballreference.com. Positions, power forward, small forward.
How tall is he?
6'8", 225.
He's a small forward.
Well, P.J. Tucker's a power forward.
First of all, who are you taking in a fight? P.J. Tucker or Gordon Hayward? Okay. All right, we're a little late for a break. We're going to continue to roll on, but we'll be back in just mere minutes. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Juice ain't got him crazy. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sharara.
Hey! How we doing? That's a sneeze and a half. Nick just screwed me without thinking twice about it.
Wow.
Yep.
Can we run that back? I'd like to hear that again. Can we hear how that sounded, Nicholas, please?
Yep, I said, hold it, and nope.
Nick went hot.
Is Nora a loud sneezer, by the way?
No.
Lisa could knock the roof off our house.
Really?
Yep.
I'm a loud sneezer.
And literally doesn't care.
There is nothing loud about Nora at all. Like, she's the most soft-spoken, quietest person
I've
ever met.
People think that about Lisa. They're wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Are they?
Yeah. Yeah.
How'd that sound, Nicholas?
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sharara.
Hey! How we doing? That's a sneeze and a half. You're welcome. Happy birthday.
Oh, that was outstanding. Wow. Yeah. Nick, you're so mean, bro. Why would you do that to that man?
He could not help it. The timing could not have been more worse for Joel, because like you saw it coming.
And I told you guys. I was like, hold it a second.
Not yet. No!
Like, Lisa does it at like
10.
Like
a redneck on a four-wheeler.
10 o'clock at night, and I'll be like, you know, thinking they're supposed to be sleeping, everything like that. Uh-huh. So I'm tiptoeing around just to get my sleeping gear together. Yeah. And all of a sudden, she just like in the middle of her sleep will just go, "Bless you!" And I'm like, what the heck? I mean, even the dogs are like, are you kidding me?
Start barking.
They're like, and I'm like, what? She goes, I can't help it. I go, something tells me you could help it a little bit.
Nick seems like the kind of guy that goes, hey.
No, he just does it. Like
that's how he sneezes.
I am that guy.
I hate that people try to hold it in.
Yeah,
just
that's
let it go.
I do both.
Now, Nick, when you do that sneeze like that, does the dog turn around like when you make the fart noise?
Kind of does.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on? It doesn't get used to it.
Is it? Do you stifle him like that? Is that you?
Yeah.
Because like everyone in my family is a loud sneezer, including me. Like I think it's just we're attention whores. So it's like, hey, look at me, I'm sneezer. Like, all of us do that. But Nora's like, hey. I'm like, what was that? I sneezed. I'm like, that's not a sneeze. That was the precursor to a sneeze.
You're holding it in and it feels like your eyeballs are about to pop out?
But now, I mean, I can, like, sometimes if I'm, like, laying in bed watching the Astros and she's asleep and all of a sudden you have to sneeze, I'll just be like, hey. I'll try not to make a lot of noise because now I'll scare her to death, but... Yeah, I can do both. I don't feel like Nick, you are not a naturally
Was that
loud.
Mine?
Huh?
That wasn't mine.
That one.
That's you? That was you.
You do the noise that you're holding it so bad the noise comes out of your ears because it's your head's gonna explode.
That one. Not that one.
What do you have? What do you have a plethora of
that
sneezes?
One.
I know what yours is.
Damn, that sounded like you just spit on someone.
Mine's loud, like, but mine's not screaming loud like Joel, but they're loud.
I didn't scream. Lisa's was a scream. Assuming that the microphone was off, I was going to let that one loose, but geez.
Oh, good times. Good times indeed.
Yeah, happy birthday to Barry. Hour plus left on the show, so still time for you to get your deliveries here. It is the fourth floor, 5353 West Alabama.
There is no need to send gifts.
Weed Whackers, whiskey. Anything else, Nick, on your request list for Barry?
Just the whiskey.
Somebody said, what's Barry's favorite beer? I'll get you a six-pack.
What is your favorite
Keystone.
Beer? Oh, God, no.
Bud Light.
Okay.
That's what I drink.
Dilly to you, sir.
Not proud of it, but, you know, I'm not like these beer nerds.
It's
like
offensive to me.
Tyler and AJ. I know, you're a Miller Lite guy.
You gotta be.
But I'm not one of those beer nerds. My dad drank Miller Lite. Actually, my dad drank Pearl Light, and then he switched to Miller Lite. Yep. I've always been a Bud Light guy. I don't know why.
Not a Crawford Bach guy?
That's the new thing.
I mean, I drink, like, I have a fridge full of beer thanks to your friendly neighborhood beer salesman and... others who have brought us beer, and I drink them. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge beer drinker. I like whiskey, so that's my... If I'm going to have a drink tonight, it'll be whiskey. But on occasion, I like to enjoy a beer, so I'll go grab one that, you know, one of the nice listeners has given me. So I've got, like, Hopadillo in the fridge. I had some sort of... I don't remember what it was. It was one that Chris brought us that was a blonde ale or something like that. I don't know. But I drink them all. They're good.
Do they go bad at a certain point that you still got them? Because I think some of them he was giving them to us when we were still doing trailer wheel and frame.
If you keep it cool and like some of them are really sensitive to light, but if you keep it in the fridge dark, which a fridge is dark when it's closed, I mean,
I don't, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's not
breaking
like
news.
Yeah, I didn't.
That light goes off when you
really
close it.
Sometimes the light goes off other places too.
Facts. Spitting facts on the usual suspects. Yep.
Hey, you know what a fact is? Get Upside is a fact.
A fact that
it puts money in your pocket. That's outstanding. I love this app. Y'all go get Upside on your phone right now. It's completely free to download, completely free to use. And do it for my birthday. Like, make me feel better about me. If you're not going to send gifts, and that's, I don't want you to. I want you to download Get Upside because my gift would be you getting cash back in your pocket. That would make me happy. You know what would make me happy? Use my promo code, Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. Put that in as your promo code, and that'll make me happy. And you'll be happy because you're going to get
a ton of cash back if you use the app properly. You can get up to 25 cents a gallon at over 500 gas stations, up to 35% cash back at tons of restaurants around the city of Houston. And don't just take my word for it. Get Upside has been featured on ABC 13. They did a story on Get Upside and talked about how great this app is. You guys are lucky. Look, don't just be like, maybe not. Get Upside is not available all over the country. There are a lot of cities that don't have the opportunity to use Get Upside. So you should take advantage of that and start using it and get cash back on the stuff you're already paying for. And here's the kicker. No one has to know. And by no one, I mean your wife or girlfriend. So you use Get Upside, you get money in your account, you don't tell her about it, and then that's she money. That's money she doesn't get, money she doesn't know about. But it works. I mean, I've had listeners tell me they have $200 in their account, $90 in their account. It absolutely works. You absolutely get cash back. Don't forget my promo code, Barry. Put that in there. My wife used my promo code and got up to, she got 30 cents a gallon on her first fill up through the app. So easy to use, completely free to use. Do not waste time. Go download it right now. It's called Get Upside. Put it on your phone. Put in my promo code, Barry. Get that cash back. Thank me later.
Need a new restaurant to go to?
Do you know where I could find an organic Vietnamese taco truck around here?
Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news from Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler.